Hey, everybody, welcome back. We continue on all the way till 6 o'clock right here on the Big Talker 1700. And then after we are finished, it is Thursday night football and a good ball game tonight. But right now, we talked to his brother yesterday, and today we're going to have a conversation with Derek Peck, BC Divide, and he's the guy who covers the Iowa Hawkeyes. How are you, Derek? And is this a slump buster for Iowa tonight?
I'm doing well, guys. I hope so. I hope that it is, but the rational side of my brain says it's not. I'm not feeling good about the Hawks' chances tonight. It's at Hilton. They've been playing terrible basketball, and in my opinion, it's been really poor guard play. And Iowa State has some really good guards, so I don't think it looks good for the Hawks. But I can always hold on to hope.
Yeah, hope. Is all that's working right now for the Hawkeye fans. One thing that I mentioned this week is there's a real opportunity all of a sudden. If Iowa can win this game, they get a couple of layups after that. They get Southern. They have Drake in the Big Four Classic in Southern Utah. Yeah, the schedule sets up that they could get on a run, but it has to start tonight. So what do you want to see different? You've watched this team. You've seen the struggles that they have. What are some things that you'd like to see this team do to try to break out of this funk?
Well, I think Nicholas Baer is a huge part of that. He's played awful. He's averaging 4 points, 4 rebounds, and I want to say he's averaging like 2 or 3 turnovers a game, which is, for somebody who doesn't get the ball that often, that's the same number of turnovers that Bohannon and Isaiah Moss have per game. So Baer, coming into this season, I think everybody expected Baer to really play a huge role like he has the last couple of years, and he didn't start it off well with the injury. I'm not trying to be too hard on him. It's got to be hard coming off of that and starting the season that way, but he certainly hasn't contributed the way that we've grown accustomed to in the past couple seasons out of him, and that's a huge part of it. So hopefully Baer can get things back on track tonight, and if he can, I think the Hawks can keep this one close, but other than that, it's been, they need Isaiah Moss to be consistent, and that's one of those things that's not easy to remedy. I'm not sure what the answer is to that. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's a mental thing. But he just has been really inconsistent, and I think that makes Fran struggle to figure out when to have him on the court, when to not play him. And then Fran struggling with figuring out his playing time may also be contributing to him being inconsistent. So it's a tough situation. When everybody knew that Moss was going to be a huge part of this team's success, for him to be so inconsistent, it certainly isn't helping. But other than that, just defensively, their guards have been terrible. And boy, with tonight, they've got their hands full with Donovan Jackson and Lindell Wigginton, and and then I've been really impressed with Nick Babb for Iowa State too. Mm-hmm. The kid's averaging 7 assists a game. That's really impressive, and he really facilitates that offense well, and they've got the ability to shoot. So certainly are going to be more athletic as well compared to Iowa's guards, and I just don't think it matches up well. But in terms of strategy for tonight, Iowa State clearly has the advantage at the guard position, but I do think Iowa has a pretty good advantage in the post. So I hope that they kind of play their offense inside out, and they try to get Tyler Cook going. Boy, it'd be nice if Garza and Nungi could have a good game tonight as well, because I think that's where Iowa holds the advantage.
Yeah, get it inside and hope for the best there. Maybe slow the pace a little bit, something that you normally don't see out of a Fran McCaffrey team. We're talking right now, Derek Peck, bcdivide.com, as we're taking a look at the Hawkeye side of things. And, Derek, let's dive a little bit deeper. The hot seat question, and I've been getting this a lot from people. I personally don't buy it. I think I'm a pretty big fan of Fran McCaffrey, though there are things that do upset me. I get fired up at times about scheduling, the decision to sit guys with 2 fouls. There are things in-game that I get frustrated with, as I think anybody of a fan of a basketball team, that's what happens. But hot seat, you look at what he's done. You look at what he has built this program to and the depths that he had to build it out of. I think that's a little bit silly. Where are you in a possible, if this season continues to go south, in a hot seat for Fran McCaffrey?
I try to stay level-headed about that, Trent. I get just as frustrated as the next fan, but I also try to keep some perspective. And the reality is Iowa has some good players coming in down the line, and I think it would be a horrible mistake to risk losing any of those guys because they make a rash decision to let go of Fran McCaffrey. I mean, which is probably what would happen. I mean, you can't just up and fire a coach that all these recruits expected to be there when they come play and not expect for there to be a backlash from that. Now, you know, a guy like Joe Wieskamp is probably going to go to Iowa regardless, but you look at, you know, Connor McCaffrey, obviously, Patrick McCaffrey, those type of kids, they're his sons. So it'd be a good chance they would leave wherever he would go. You know, and I just think the future is still bright. This is a young team. I think most Hawkeye fans expected, you know, just based on what we saw in the offseason out of Garza and Nungi, we expected a little bit more out of them, and we haven't seen that so far. But you also got to keep that in perspective. I mean, they're young kids. This is a much higher level of basketball than they're used to playing. And, you know, I mean, I'm interested to see how they respond tonight, too, because this will be the first really crazy environment that they will have played in. And that's kind of another reason why I'm a little nervous about it, because, you know, we interviewed Aaron White when we first launched BC Divide back in July. And I remember him saying when we interviewed him that that game when Iowa State had that huge comeback and Mike Gesell had the free throws at the end to win it, Aaron White said the floor was shaking at Hilton, and he'd never experienced anything like that. It was so loud that the floor was shaking underneath their feet. Really gave me a different level of respect for what Gesell was dealing with at the free throw line. It's easy for fans to sit back and say, make your damn free throws, right? But when you're dealing with that type of an environment, it's a completely different scenario than what anybody can really relate to. They just have to experience it. And, you know, I don't think it's going to go well for the Hawks tonight, but I hope it does. But, yeah, I definitely don't think that it's time to consider letting go of Fran. I mean, I kind of got off topic there, but
no.
I don't think so. I think that would be an overreaction. Certainly will be a disappointing season, but, you know, if we've learned anything from football and Kirk Ferentz, and, you know, I love having longevity and having some steadiness to a team. And, you know, at the end of the day, I still like Fran. I still like what he brings to the table, and I think it would be a mistake to let him go.
Well, and it's still an incredibly young team.
Right? Yeah, you're exactly.
Cook and Bohan and Moss, those guys are all sophomores. Nungi and Garza, freshmen. Pemsel, sophomore. Daly, sophomore. Ellingson and Bear are the upperclassmen out of this group, and we've only seen Bear for three games. You know, you mentioned him and getting him going a little bit. Maybe a little bit too much reliability from Nicholas Bear on that outside shot. You know, get into the rim, get into the paint a little bit more. That's a possibility. We could see something, you know, maybe positive happening here. What's the kind of game? If I was going to pull off this upset right now in Vegas, they're about a 7-point dog. If they're going to pull this thing off, how does the game need to be played? Does it have to be a game maybe more in the 60s than up-tempo?
I would say so. Yeah, I would say probably in the 60s or low 70s. That would be my remedy for success is Iowa kind of dominates in the paint. They out-rebound the Cyclones. And then, you know, if they play inside out and Bohannon can get streaky, then, you know, he could play a huge role as well in keeping the Hawks close. And I think that's their only chance of winning. I think if Iowa wins, it's going to be a close game. It comes down to the end, and they hit some big shots. But, you know, I mean, otherwise, if it gets to be high scoring and they start running, I think Iowa State's going to run them out of the gym with the guards that they have. And if they get hot, too, you know, Donovan Jackson's a streaky shooter as well. I really worry about Wigginton versus Bohannon. Wigginton's uber athletic. He's strong. He's built. He's everything that Bohannon isn't in terms of a point guard. Really, in my opinion. I mean, Bohannon has his own strengths. You know, he's probably better at feeding the post. He's a little bit better assist guy. Certainly a better shooter right now. But Wigginton can just run circles around him and get to the hoop. You know, that's the other thing that I thought of too is one of the most frustrating aspects to this team, from my perspective, is they go on like 8 or 9 minute scoring droughts, mm-hmm. and you just cannot do that. And one of the best ways to prevent that from happening is having a slasher that can get to the rim and get fouled. And they don't have that. You know, I mean, if, right. you mentioned Bear relying too much on the outside shot. Maybe he tries to start doing that. You know, I think of how much Aaron White used to do that. You know, that was, you're on a 2, 3, 4 minute scoring drought, get the ball to Aaron White and let him run at the hoop. Worst thing that happens, he gets fouled or blocked. But either way, you can get some easy points. And they could really need that. They could really use that tonight as well. But I definitely would start with Cook. If Cook could have a big game and Garza and Nungi can step up and help him out down low, then that might open things up on the outside for Bohannon.
All right, Derek, let's go from the round ball to the oblong ball. Bowl game in New York City, Pinstripe Bowl, Yankee Stadium. Should be fun.
Are you guys headed out there?
Should be fun. No.
No, not me either.
No, no. The enthusiasm is way down for this particular bowl. However, Iowa might be able to snap that 5-game losing skid that they have right now in bowl games, because they're going to play a team in Boston College that is predicated pretty much what Iowa does. Have you had a chance to kind of break this one down a little bit? And if so, what do you see?
Well, I mean, I will say exactly what you just said, and that's that this is finally a good matchup for them. I know prior to the announcement, the rumors were that they were going to be playing Louisville. I think we talked about that last week, and I thought, oh, great, Lamar Jackson's going to, you know, he's going to be the next Heisman contender that made Iowa look stupid. So I was relieved when I heard that it was Boston College, just because they play the same type of football that Iowa does. So I think in terms of a matchup, it really fits in well with the Hawks. I know Jim Reed, I believe Jim Reed's over there with Boston College now too, isn't he?
Defensive coordinator, yep.
Yeah. So it should be a good game, you know, and they ended their season pretty well with a huge victory over Syracuse, I think 42-14, and a nice solid victory over UConn, but UConn's terrible. But when you look at the games they played against their tougher competition, you know, a couple of them were early in the season where they got beat pretty badly by Notre Dame and Clemson, but they also played Virginia Tech and NC State pretty well. Pretty tight games, and then had some, you know, they did knock off Louisville. So I think there's a lot of similarities between Boston College and Iowa. And you look at their scoring margins, you know, one game they'll have 42 points, and then another game they'll have 14. And that is exactly like Iowa this year. You know, they had games against Iowa State and Ohio State and Nebraska where their offense looked great, and then they had games against Minnesota and Michigan State and, you know, and Purdue, where it just looked completely flat. So that's probably where I would begin and end breaking it down. It's just which offense is going to show up, you know, and if the good Iowa offense shows up, I think they've got a really good chance at ending that losing streak in these bowl games.
Well, keep your fingers crossed. Hope for the best, certainly, with that. It's Derek Peck, bcdivide.com. is the website to go. Black and Cardinal Divide for Hawkeye and Cyclone fans. As always, Derek, good catching up with you again. Enjoy the game tonight, win, lose, or draw. And I'm going to guess you and Cody will be going back and forth with some texts and some phone calls this evening.
I'm sure we will. It's probably a good thing he's over in Davenport now. He's out of arm's reach, so it'll have to be through texting. But I always appreciate you guys having me on.
Always good stuff. That's Derek Peck joining us here on Jimmy B and TC. Well, Jim, we're getting ready for it tonight. We've heard from the Cyclone side earlier with John Walters there, the Hawkeye perspective with Derek Peck from bcdivide.com. Coming up next, we're going to go out to Vegas. Chris Andrews is going to join us, old friend from the South Point Casino. We'll see what that number's doing out there. 6.5, 7. Now, it opened offshore at 5, but it opened in Vegas at 6.5, so not a ton of movement. I've been keeping my eye on it throughout the day and here into the late afternoon. We'll see what Chris has to say, see what the action is. Also want to get his thoughts, what's happening in that UNI-Texas-Arlington spread for tonight. And, of course, we'll talk football with him, too. But we'll do that coming up on the other side. A trip to Vegas, Jimmy B. I know you always like that.
That's always a good time when you go out there. And Chris is a great guy. If you ever want to have a good time, you have to go hit up Chris at the South Point. It's a lot of fun there. And listen, That's where they do the radio show from, too, on Sirius. So the studio is right there. It's a lot of fun. Chris Andrews and the South Point. He's coming up, everybody, right here on the Big Talker 1700. Welcome back, everybody. This is always one of our favorite segments when we get a chance to go to beautiful Lost Wages, where Chris Andrews from the South Point joins us, and it's always fun when we have Chris on the show, and he's with us right now on the Big Talker 1700. Hello, Chris. How are you, pal?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Everything's good with us, and of course, everybody's excited here in the Des Moines area and across the rest of the state because it's the big Cy-Hawk game tonight. Iowa playing at Iowa State. The Hawks struggling. Iowa State is trending upwards. Where are the wise guys in Vegas on this one?
Well, we opened this game 7, and you know, I thought that was a pretty good number. To tell you the truth, I even liked Iowa State a little bit at that number. But the money came in on Iowa, and we're down to 6.5. No real trend at 6.5. But like I said, the wise guys did take 7 off me this morning. And, you know, I don't know. I'm pretty comfortable with that position. If they want Iowa, I'm fine with that. I think Iowa State's the right side.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. You see the fluctuations in football, and it feels like, you know, in general, people have a better idea. College basketball, I've heard from years, and I'm talking with you, Chris, and a number of other people, that college basketball, especially early on, could be a concerning time for the books. You don't know a whole lot. You know, Iowa was preseason team that a lot of people had in the NCAA tournament, a top 60 team at the very least. And they've looked awful. How much adjustment do you have here in the early season? And is it a bigger swing than you normally have? Say a team goes into a funk in February, something like that. Is the swing that you have to adjust to a lot bigger here in the early portion of the non-conference schedule?
No question about it. You have to go quickly because, you know, we just don't know what's going on. You know, there's too many teams to follow. And, you know, you just can't dig into each team and see exactly what's going on. You just kind of have to go off the final scores, and you know, you could check a few real basic stats, but other than that, you really have to make some pretty swift adjustments. And you know, and Iowa's a good example, but you know, I guess you know there were some pretty fairly high hopes for them early in this or before the season, but then as the season started on, they just didn't look very good, and you know, it's one of those things where we got to move it pretty quick, and I think the adjustment was you know, has been done, but again, I think maybe some people thinking that they're getting back to where they should be. But I, you know, personally, I like Iowa State tonight. I think that number's a little cheap.
Wow, that's incredible that that you kind of favor that right now. Is because Iowa State is a team, at least from our vantage point, that struggled early, but now have kind of kicked it in the gear a little bit. Is that the way it's perceived in Vegas as well?
Well, that's the way I've perceived it. But like I said, we opened the game 7, you know, Iowa State a 7-point favorite. And the money's come in on Iowa. Well, at least it's 7. Like I said, now we're at 6.5. And no real trend either way. We're getting business on both sides at 6.5. So, but evidently people thought 7 was a little bit high. And in all honesty, I have to respect their opinion. The guys that are out here betting the early numbers, you know, they really do know more than I do, certainly, about these teams. So, you know, when they come in on a side, I do have to respect it because they've done more homework than I have at this point in the season.
Well, we got Iowa State, and it was funny, former All-MVC player Seth Tuttle tweeted out from Northern Iowa today, huge game in the state today, and he wasn't talking about the Cy-Hawk game. Hosting UT Arlington, very good UT Arlington team. Many people expect them to win the Southland this year. 7-1, you and I's off to a good start here.
Yeah.
I saw Dave Koken. I'm sure you know Dave.
Sure.
This was his pick of the day. He had the Panthers laying the points at home. Where are you guys? Two-sided action right now on the Panthers and UT Arlington? Or are you seeing it on one side or the other? You'd figure you and I at least more of a national brand, as much as you and I could be a national brand. What are you guys seeing in this one?
Yeah, actually, you know, UNI is kind of well known for a school of that you know, that stature, you know, because they've been in the tournament a couple of times, and, you know, they've beaten a couple of teams, so that's no slouch program. But anyway, that's one of those. We opened at 3.5. We went up as high as 5, and now we're at 4.5, so it looks like we've kind of settled down in the middle there, you know, but a little bit more money on you and I. And so that was Dave's pick of the day was UNI, is that
yes.
correct?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yep.
Yep.
Whenever Dave picks my alma mater, I gotta tail him. So if I was out there, you'd do me that five, right? You know I'm such a big spender.
Well, I mean, you're gonna tell him which way you're going because UNI is a favorite. They're 4.5. You're gonna take the 5 on Arlington.
I might go the 5's the number I'd grab with Arlington. It's a good.
Yeah.
Number. I think it's a good number. I think you guys have it right at that.
Yeah. So they did. Yeah, you know, the wise guys did take the 5 on us. You know, so so we're 4.5. But like I said, we've been all over the place on that game. So pretty good action for a game of that level.
Well,
but. You know, it's kind of a slow schedule today. We'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, it is. There isn't a whole lot the next couple of days of college basketball. You get Army-Navy over the weekend on the college side of things. You got the FCS playoffs. What kind of handle do you guys – I mean, it's the quarterfinals for the FCS. When you guys have those lines up there, do you get much at all? I'm sure Army-Navy are going to guys will get a ton of action on that. But the FCS do anything on a Saturday?
You know, not much. Well, you know, we'll get a couple of bets on each side. You know, some of them, like North Dakota State, is now almost like a national brand. Sam Houston State, not too far behind them. You know, but otherwise, you know, I mean, I know New Hampshire's had a pretty good program, but I'm not sure everybody knows that. And South Dakota State, don't know that much about them. I mean, they've been in the shadow of North Dakota State for a while. And then, like, Wofford and Kennesaw State, I'm not sure anybody really even knows anything about them, including me. So, you know, we'll have numbers on them, but I'm not sure how much we write. Not too much, but we write a little bit. It's worth us putting
it. All right, fair enough. But there is a pretty good NFL game tonight with New Orleans at Atlanta. Where are you guys on this one?
Boy, that's another one. You know, we opened Atlanta a one-point favorite. We went as high as New Orleans, a 2-point favorite. Now we've swung all the way back the other way. We're Atlanta -2. You know, so we've really been all over the place. But this morning, the money just started coming in on Atlanta. I'm not sure exactly why, but I do know that there's a couple guys out for New Orleans at the offensive line. And you know, they've had a couple of injuries on New Orleans. It's a huge game for Atlanta. I saw one of the prognosticators, I mean, one of the quant guys, saying that if Atlanta wins, they have like a 52% chance to make the playoffs. If they lose, it's like a 13% chance. So a huge swing for the Atlanta side. So, you know, a lot of those guys really pay attention to that and really, you know, really believe that and allow that to influence their betting. I personally am not that big on those must wins and all that because I really think when teams go out there, they're both competing pretty good, you know. But a lot of guys do bet that. But I can see where it is a much bigger game for Atlanta, no doubt. Whereas New Orleans right now looks like they're pretty solid to at least make the playoffs. But, you know, they're still in a dogfight with, you know, teams like Minnesota and Philadelphia to get a home field, get the home field advantage or at least a home game the first week. You know, so I don't see them sloughing off, but I guess it is a much bigger game for Atlanta, no question.
Well, a good week of the NFL overall. You know, there's been some dog weeks out there with some awful matchups, but this one, pretty juicy. The late window's got some good ones early. Want to go north up to Minnesota, the Vikings. They're a 2.5, 3-point favorite over Carolina on the road. What are you guys dealing out at the South Point right now?
We got Minnesota, 2.5-point favorite. We were as high as 3, and the wise guys took the Panthers on it. But, you know, sometimes those guys, you have to be careful. Sometimes they're just playing a number. And I think 3 was a real good number. We were the only ones around that had the 3, so they took it. But now at the 2.5, a little bit more money coming in on the Vikings. And I have to tell you, I was on a radio show earlier this week, on Gil's show, as a matter of fact.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
I said, I'm tired of losing on the Vikings every week because everybody bets them. And, you know, still in your brain, you're thinking of Case Keenan, you know, a very mediocre quarterback, and, you know, they've had a good defense and all that, but I think we have to kind of put those aside. Case Keenum's having a really good year, and that defense is more than just pretty good. They're darn good, you know. So I don't know. I'd be hard pressed to bet the Panthers in this game because I think that you know, you've seen Cam Newton get you know, sometimes if he gets down, he can get real down, and I think that Viking team's going to put a lot of pressure on him this Sunday.
Quickly back to college basketball, because I wanted to reference this real fast. We have seen what Ball State did at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
We saw what Washington just did at Kansas. It was in Kansas City, but technically Kansas. And tonight, Valpo, undefeated, they're 8-0 at number 21, Purdue. Is this another shocker that might take place?
Well, we have a pretty high price on that game. It's 15.5. And, you know, Purdue does get an awful lot of respect, which they deserve. But, you know, Valpo's another one of those teams. They've had a very good program for a long time. And I don't know if they could pull off the upset here, but there, it just shows you how much volatility there is. You know, the Ball State win, I mean, that was pretty shocking, I got to tell you. You know, Washington, the win was, you know, probably, I guess in some ways, equally as shocking. But at least they have a new coach and have a new defense that they're in that 2-3 zone. The guy came from Syracuse.
Mike Hopkins.
Yeah, he came from Syracuse. So they got that 2-3 combo zone. And, you know, Washington's been a pretty good team. You know, over the years, they've had it up and down, you know, like a lot of other schools. But, you know, that Ball State win, that was kind of a shocker to me. But, you know, we'll see what Valpo does tonight. You know, pretty good action on the game, so we'll see what happens.
Let's go full circle back to Iowa and Iowa State this time on the gridiron, though. Bowl game, bowl destinations, Liberty Bowl for the Cyclones and for the Hawkeyes. They head out to New York. Yeah, just what Iowans want to do. Go on a vacation to New York when you're looking for warm weather in a bowl game. But here we are. Let's start with the Cyclones, which it's a game in a stadium that Memphis plays in, but there's going to be 25,000 Iowa State fans that are going down. They've already sold their allotment of 15,000. They're traveling in mass. Before we get into kind of the nuts and bolts of the game, how do you handicap something like that where Memphis is playing at home, but it's a bowl game and it's going to be a 50-50 split? Does that play with the number at all?
Definitely, yeah, because I'm glad you told me that. I'm not sure I knew that about Iowa State, that they were traveling quite so well, but I could see where their fans would be pretty well you know, into this team for a variety of reasons. And I know I tweeted you the one day when they held on to Campbell as their coach. You know, I thought it was really a bold move on their part. Excuse me. But, you know, Memphis, pretty good team now ever since Fuente's been there. So that's about 5-6 years now. They've been a pretty good program. And, of course, they are playing at the Liberty Bowl, but you know, which is Memphis's home field. But I think that I kind of like Iowa State in this game, especially after you just told me that. I mean, they're just going to play a little tougher competition week in and week out. And, you know, they weren't a great team, but, you know, they come off the mat to beat Oklahoma, and they represented themselves really, really well. I'm very happy for that school and what they've done. And I know I kind of joked with you over the past. I said I might as well have gotten an Iowa State tattoo all these years. I've been rooting for them for so many times. And now they've kind of, you know, they stepped up, and, you know, good for them. So I'm probably going to root for Iowa State in that game. And I hope they bet me on Memphis, which I think they might.
Yeah, probably going to be seeing that. All right, let's finish up with the Pinstripe Bowl. Iowa, about a field goal favorite over Boston College. The bowl woes for Iowa certainly been a big talker around here, as you can imagine, as they've been blowing out their last three bowl games, have lost five consecutive. Different kind of team, though, they're facing in Boston College.
Have they lost five in a row? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. They're the favorite. I mean, will the Iowa fans travel?
No. 7,000, 8,000 maybe. I mean,
yeah.
10 at the absolute best of, you know, alumni up there in the Northeast travel. But, no, this is normally Iowa travels well. This is not one that they're going to be traveling well for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if this game was in Arizona or something, I would expect a lot of Iowa people to go there. You know, it might be a little bit of a tough sell, but, you know, I guess you could tell people how great New York is in the wintertime. They might buy it. I mean, if they're looking at some old movies or something, you know, but otherwise, you know, bring your heavy coat. Of course, it's 4 degrees in Iowa today, you know, so, I mean, maybe it's not all that bad. But I don't know. I think it's a tough one. You know, early in the season, you know, I know, Trent, that you listen to our show. You know, Vinny Maiolio, who's on the show with me, he kind of gave me Boston College. He says, this is a team to keep an eye on. They're a lot better than people think. You know, so I've been kind of on Boston College a little bit throughout the season, courtesy of Vinny. And I see no real reason to get off them right now. I'd probably, if I was out there betting, and I'm not, I'm just booking these games, except I'm in a couple of contests too. But I kind of favor Boston College in this one.
Good stuff. That's Chris Andrews, South Point Casino. Next time you're in Vegas, stop on out there, see Chris. And the great job that they have there. The VEASAN studios are set up. See Musburger during the afternoon. And Brent, yeah, he's getting ready for his radio show. He's he's quite the character, isn't he, Chris?
He is. He's getting some other award tonight, so I think he's in Atlanta. You know, you know these guys, they just keep getting awards and awards and awards, you know. But I do have to tell you, if you listen to the show and just have seen Brent over the years, he really is that nice of a guy, you know, and we bust his chops pretty good about how he's been retired now, and he's working as much as he ever had. You know, he's working every day, but he's a terrific guy, and we're really lucky to have him here at the South Point as part of VSIN. Yeah, so I really enjoyed my time with Brent. He's terrific, but won't be in tonight. He's getting some award, but I'm sure I'll be here by the weekend.
Good stuff. Hey, thanks, Chris, as always. Good catching up with you.
Yeah, good talking to you guys, too, and hope to see you out here again soon.
We
Jim,
did.
That goes for you, too, pal.
I appreciate that, pal. You know I'm going to make it there. I will.
Okay. I got a buffet ticket with your name on it, so come on by.
I like it. Thank
all
you, Chris.
Right, talk to you guys again soon. Good luck with everything.
Okay, there you go. That's great. Chris Andrews from the South Point, one of our favorite guests of all time here on the show, Trent. He's terrific.
And, they went up to 7 in the Iowa State game, saw the money coming on Iowa, now getting that 50-50 action on Iowa State. I do see offshore that a lot of the money is on Iowa State. That's the side that I'm on tonight, as Iowa State got it at 6.5. So, yeah,
okay.
That's the betting public where they're at. But, well, they don't build those casinos for nothing, Jimmy B. You know, they find a way.
Find a way to take your money. Yep, they do. Yep, they'll separate you from it quicker than you can blink your eye.
We'll get one more perspective on the Iowa State game coming up on the other side. Our Big Ten insider, it'll be Ken Silverstein. We'll put a cap on things. Jimmy B and myself will make our official picks as well. Iowa State tonight. We're talking Big Ten on the other side with Ken Silverstein on Jimmy B and TC.
Welcome back, everybody. Our final segment of the day here as we continue to get you ready for the big Cy-Hawk matchup. Big Ten Conference insider Ken Silverstein is our guest here on the Big Talker 1700. Kenny, good afternoon to you. And how do you see the Cy-Hawk game tonight, Iowa at Iowa State?
Well, I tell you what, it's obviously a rivalry game, and if it's as entertaining as the football game was back a couple months ago, fans are going to get their money's worth, no doubt about it, because that was an entertaining game, obviously. Nate did a nice job at quarterback, and Wadley did his thing. Iowa State missed some tackles, and Hawkeyes obviously won the game. So we'll see tonight. It's still early in the season, and I don't know about you guys, I'm having a little bit of trouble of non-conference, okay, let's play two conference games, and now let's get back in the non-conference again. I'm having a little trouble because of the flow of it. I'm having a little bit of trouble making bold statements like, well, if someone is around 500 or under 500, well, that means that's what's going to happen the rest of the year because of this stop and go and stop again in regards to the flow. If we're talking Michigan State, for example, I ain't worried one iota. They got great talent, great coach. and they should be in the Final Four. Now, when you're looking at Iowa particularly, you know, you look at the wins and the losses and you go, this is not what Coach Fran and the boys were thinking about here. No, this don't look so good. But I don't want to push the panic button because, again, because of this funkiness with a capital F of how the schedule is in regards to, obviously, the change in the conference tournament, and we've discussed that ad nauseum on whether or not it's a good move, bad move, or whatever. So if you just look at record, you'd have to think the Cyclones are in pretty good shape. But, and it's a cliche, but it's true, Iowa would love to win this thing. It would right their season at this point. I guess I'll go with Iowa State because they have a better record at this point. But, again, this is, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I want to. Well, I guess you can compare it to Florida, Florida State, Texas A&M, whatever. I think when you deal with an in-state rivalry like this, I'm not sure there is a favorite, but I'll go with Iowa State because I think obviously they're off to a better start if you just look at wins and losses.
Yeah, and Iowa's just going the wrong way. Two winnable games, Penn State at home at Indiana, and never led against Penn State, never had a lead in Indiana. Yeah. Came back, made it a game, and then promptly gave up an 18-0 run, and were blown out of the building. This is an Iowa team not playing very well. Expectations were they were going to be an NCAA tournament team. But it's the Big Ten as a whole. Michigan State's good. No surprise, Michigan State.
No doubt about that.
Is national championship good this season. But the rest of the conference, you know, Purdue had a couple of questionable losses. Minnesota loses to Nebraska. You look across the landscape here, a 14-team conference, we could be talking about and talking to some of the bracketologists out there and how bad it's been for the Big Ten. It might be a year where four or five teams is all we see in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and that won't make the commission very happy.
No.
He's already not a happy warrior with what happened, obviously, with not being the Final Four in football and then what occurred the year prior with Penn State winning and not going. So it's been a little rocky in the corporate offices with the Big Ten, with the commissioner and so forth. If you looked at the matchup, and I know you did, obviously, guys, in head-to-head with the ACC, it did not work out. And that is an understatement of a lifetime. And I don't know. I mean, I still think when you look at it, I still think Purdue's going to be pretty good, maybe better than that. What is surprising, I mean, I watched Wisconsin-Ohio State, I guess it was Saturday afternoon. And maybe, you know, I sat down and I'm thinking, okay, the Badgers haven't been, you know, they're up to a little bit of a slow start. Ohio State, new coach, kind of a hodgepodge of talent. And I'm watching this thing and I'm going, bring back Frank Kaminsky. Bring back Sam Decker. What has happened to Wisconsin hoops? I mean, they had this great run with Kaminsky and Decker and Nigel Hayes and on and on and on. I'm not going to list every guy that's played for him the last 5, 8, 10 years. I think you catch my drift. And I'm watching this game, I guess it would have been, Saturday before the Big Ten championship game. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is not good. And Ohio State's not that good.
No.
They're probably going to be average. I think they'd be very happy with about 18 wins. I think if they get 17, 18 in Chris Holtman's first year, I think they'd be giddy, quite frankly. Okay, they're not very deep. You know, if they have any injuries, they're in deep, deep, deep trouble. But it's not good for the league when Wisconsin, who's been a major player, and I think all of us will agree, that over the last, you fill in a blank numerical number of years, Wisconsin's been really good in hoops, okay? Call center, tough place to play. You don't win there often, very seldom. And to get blown out like they did is not only a good sign for the Badgers. Well, I'm not sure it's a real good sign for the conference in general at this point. I think you're right on trend. I don't know if it's going to be five. I don't know if it's going to be six. But a couple of these teams better get their act in gear quickly, or this is going to be a lean year for March Madness. If you're rooting for the, or whether you're rooting for the Hawkeyes or you're rooting just for the Big Ten in general, more than a few teams need to right their ships collectively and need to do it pretty quickly.
And, well, you referenced the football side of things, so let's jump into the football. Haven't had a chance to talk to you, obviously, since the announcement. Alabama grabs the fourth spot. Ohio State on the outside looking in. I'm going to guess that's dominated the radio airwaves out there in Cleveland and across Iowa. Ohio, excuse me.
And you have never said truer words in any lifetime. Yes, yes.
And our our fine state is the reason for it. The Hawkeyes, 31-point victory.
Oh, you got to love Kirk. You got to love Kirk. You got to love Brian. That, you know, look, to this day, I still don't know what happened. Okay. I don't know. I mean, I saw it. It's legit. It wasn't a fluke. You know, I mean, if they won by a late field goal that hit the crossbar and bounced over, you'd say, that's fluky.
Yeah.
This was not fluky. Not when you win by 30-plus. But nobody that I know of that I respect from a football punditry perspective can explain to me. I can't explain it. The bottom line is one team did not show up. But at the same time, you cannot slight Iowa. Okay, that's as good as they not only played this year, but you might have to go back a bunch of years to win against that type of team by that amount. I mean, look, they've had great wins at Kinnick against ranked teams, but you'd have to refresh my memory. I can't remember them beating a team of that stature by that amount. Okay, it's one thing to beat Michigan the year prior by what, a late field goal. Okay, great win. Sorry, Mr. Khaki, you're out of town. You lose, that's Harbaugh, and Michigan. But to win by whatever it was, 30-plus, is still mind-boggling. Was I surprised? Yeah, a little bit because, and Jim will attest to this, I'm a resume guy. I've been in the hiring process for more than a few jobs over the years where my opinion was asked on who we should hire, and I've always looked at resume as being, at least from where I come from, on who to hire, meaning if you've done it, I'm more receptive. If you haven't done it, I'm not as receptive. That's just the way I was brought up in this business of radio, and that's the way I'll go to my almighty grave. So when I look at the resumes, they're not comparable. They're just not. And when Kirby gets on TV on Tuesday before the Sunday decision and says the difference between 5 and 8 or 9, whatever it was minuscule, he looks like, and I'm being kind to him, the biggest fibber I've run into in a long time. You could call him a word that begins with an L and ends with an R. And I think you know what I'm talking about. So here's another problem. And we could talk about this for hours. How can you have one major league play 8 conference games and another conference, the Big Ten, played 9, okay? And how is that fair? And also, how is it fair that Big Ten teams, 99 out of 100 times, okay, in the next to last week of the regular season? So, for example, Iowa closes with Nebraska. The week prior, they play so-and-so. They're not playing Mercer. Ohio State, prior to Michigan, is not playing some lightweight non-conference school. They're playing somebody in conference. Now, this year it happened to be Illinois, and that's literally like playing Mercer, but it's a conference foe. It's not somebody outside the conference like, Valdosta State. So when you look at resume, when you look at who one team beat and another team beat, it's laughable. And if I was the commissioner, I'd be having a cow because this sets a bad precedent for the for years to come for the Big Ten. And, I'm waving the pom-poms for Delaney and the Big Ten offices. I think it's inexcusable. I just do. Now, is Ohio State better than Alabama talent-wise? I don't think there's a big difference. Not at all. Last year's recruiting class, Alabama was number one. Ohio State was number two. When they faced each other the last time back in 14, I think I know who won that game. So I don't see a big difference talent-wise, but obviously they, in their infinite wisdom, saw it a different way. Now, I'm not going to tell you that Ohio State would have beaten Clemson. No, they wouldn't have. They would not beat Clemson, and I don't think Alabama's going to beat Clemson. So I'm not sure it makes that big a difference, but you ask the question, and the answer is I think Ohio State got screwed a little bit, and the Big Ten got screwed even more because the Big Ten doesn't have a representative. And I think when you're a major conference and arguably are the number one conference in all of college football, that you don't have a representative in the Final Four is more than disrespectful. We'll leave it at that.
All right, Kim, but was this payback when Ohio State got in?
Yeah, I mean, you can make that argument because you can make an argument the year prior that Penn State, by winning against Wisconsin and coming back from a big deficit and winning the game the year prior, should have went in rather than Ohio State. And you can make the argument, and a very good one, that Penn State, on a fluky play, but still, it worked out for Penn State's outcome in a positive vein. So they were able to win, not this year, the year prior, in Happy Valley. So you can make that argument. But what I would argue is the following, that now, with Big Ten being out this year, with a team that won 11 games against two losses and one loss to the number two team in the country, and arguably the number one team in the country in Oklahoma, with a Heisman winner in Baker Mayfield, and a bad loss. No other way of looking at it. When you lose, from Ohio State's perspective, when you lose to Iowa by 30-plus, that is disgraceful. I'm sorry, there's no other way of looking at it, okay?
Yep.
That's just the way it is, taking nothing away from the Hawkeyes and their kids. They did a tremendous job. It was a great game plan. It was executed magnificently. And they should all collectively take a bow. It was a great, great, fabulous win. But from Ohio State's standpoint, if you're a blue blood, you don't need to be losing to Iowa, whether it's played at Kinnick or anywhere else. They don't have the talent. It doesn't match up. But on that one day, it more than did. And so kudos again to Iowa. I want to make sure everyone understands that was done beautifully from Iowa's perspective. They couldn't have put together a better game plan and a more well-executed game plan than that Saturday in, what, early November, I guess it was, at Kinnick. The bottom line is when you're 11-2 and you've beaten all the big boys in the East, including Wisconsin, which means they beat Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin, okay, I don't see, and a loss, granted, at home, to arguably the number one slash number two team against Oklahoma. Now, resume, it's not even close. It's not even debatable. It's not even debatable. And, you know, maybe it's payback. I don't know why it would be payback. I mean, I'm not sure where that would come from. But if you said to me, did it even the score? Maybe that's another way of saying payback. I guess it could be. I guess it could. But the long and the short is the Big Ten does not have a representative, and I am still surprised by that, and I worry that it might have an effect next year, 18, and down the road. Some might disagree with that, but I think when you leave out arguably the best conference in college football, I don't think that's a good sign for the Big Ten, whether it's Ohio State or Penn State or Iowa or whomever it would be, quote, representing, winning the championship in Indianapolis. When that winner is not there, I think there's something missing here. Somebody had a mental flat tire along the way to the finish line.
Always interesting, pal, when we have a chance to catch up to you. I'll give you 30 seconds. That's all we've got time left for. In Cleveland, LeBron and the boys have won 13 straight, and the Browns continue to stink, and they fire their general manager. You got 30 seconds.
It's been a busy day here. Sashi Brown, the GM, after 2 years, finally gets jettisoned. No one's going to cry crocodile tears about that. He'll get another gig. He's a big-time lawyer, so whether he stays in the NFL or goes back into, quote-unquote, private practice, which is basically what he is, he's a lawyer, no one's going to fret for one Sashi Brown. I'm surprised they're keeping the coach. If I'm a GM and I'm looking to replace Sashi Brown, do I want this job when I know I'm locked in and having to take a guy that right now is 1-27 in 1 3/4 seasons? So it'll be interesting to see who they hire as GM, because that GM will come in for the most part with his hands already tied, inheriting Hugh Jackson as head coach.
All right, pal. Thank you, Kenny. Always good to catch up with you, man. You have a great day.
Same to you guys. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Ken.
All right, Ken. There you go. Ken Silverstein, Big Ten Conference Insider. And with that, Trent, we get down to the end of the program here. So I've been watching Twitter. Mm-hmm. I've seen what you have put out there. So your 15 cents is headed to Iowa State. Is that what I perceive?
Yes, you are correct, Jimmy B. I'll be laying the points tonight, laying that six in the hook, and I feel pretty confident about it. It's just what we've seen out of Iowa. It's difficult to envision them coming out and playing a good basketball, being able to compete for 40 consecutive minutes, and to do it in the environment that we're going to see in Hilton. It's a young team. Now, I mentioned that earlier with Derek Peckett, and maybe that's a part of it that we also lost about Iowa. This is going to be a difficult spot. All these sophomores, Tyler Cook, they never played at Hilton. Jordan Bohannon,
right.
He's never played in Hilton before. Of course, the freshmen, they've never played there. So you go through it and you look at this young group. This is an environment, something that they've never seen before. Yeah, the Iz Zone's great. You know, going to Michigan State, going up to the Barn, those are great environments. This is different. This is a different environment than anything that they've seen before. Even the guys that have a little bit of experience, how do they react? I don't think very well. I got the Cyclones winning it, 76-65, Clones with a double-digit victory.
Okay, I'm going to also take Iowa State as well. My biggest fear is this, and that is Iowa will be in it for a little bit and then all of a sudden hit the wall and go on one of those 5 to 10 minute segments where they can't throw it in the ocean. And that's when Iowa State takes control of the game. And then I think Iowa will make a run again and try to close back and get within six maybe. And then it'll happen again. They have not been a consistent team in difficult games whatsoever. And I just think that you're right about the environment. And I believe Iowa State wins this, and I believe that they cover as well. So we're both on the same pony riding this one to the finish line.
We will see how it finishes, and we'll be back at it tomorrow starting at noon. It'll be myself and Ken Miller, noon till 2, and, of course, Jimmy B and TC during drive time for you from 4 until 6 o'clock. Jimmy B, enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, pal. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody, bright and early at 4 in the afternoon on the Big Talker 1700.